That's the best one right there.
It's funny, my teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog.
Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog.
And you're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pat, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer, joined, as always, with Kyle and Hank.
Hello.
Oh, Hank, once again, is not here, unfortunately.
Once again, yeah. Once again, is sort of troubling.
Week off, week on, week off. I don't know.
We get it. He's a busy man, and you know, there's certain priorities you need to tend to. But we just hope it's not habit forming.
It's to that point where you have to start to wonder if his head is getting a little too big with all the praise and some of the, you know, opposite praise that he has received in the last couple weeks.
Some of the most probably feedback we've received thus far in our short time as a entity. And yeah, he has definitely brought a new light, a new audience, and we're thankful for it. But also, you know, there's just kind of an expectation he's now setting for himself. So, not disappointed, but 'cause you know, we all have things we need to maintain, but, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little worried.
Yeah, all of us enjoy the episodes more when Hank is involved. So we're actually going to watch the game with him on Thursday, and he does have, and according to Hank, for the end of the episode, so he does have his predictions and everything, so don't worry, he will still be here. More important things, the Packers did win 24-10 on Sunday. One of the more, here we go, bubbly time. One of the more exciting, boring games I think we've had. It did remind me of the last time we played Washington, and it was a low-scoring game, but at least in this, it was a little bit more exciting.
That's good.
One of the more exciting things to talk about with this game, figure this is a good opener here. Kyle, the jerseys.
Yes, I'm glad you said that.
What were your thoughts? You know,
ooh, yes, 10 out of 10.
We had the preview early on when, you know, you get the promotional pictures and videos and stuff, but to actually see it on the field, Kyle, what did you think?
Yes, I love them. Zero complaints, really good. Although, and it seemed to get pretty much universal praise across the Packers landscape.
Yeah.
Everybody loved them. All the players seemed to love them. Although... there were some funny jokes on Twitter, I won't lie. Like, one was like, oh, it was cool to see a North Dakota State football team made it to the big leagues. That was pretty funny. Like, all good jokes can contain some truth to it. But overall, yes, I'm a big fan of the jerseys, and I'm sure the Packers are aware of the positive feedback for them. So hopefully we'll see them again this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I saw some people saying, like, we should turn this into the full-time jerseys.
Yeah,
like,
no, shut, that's a bit shut. Much.
They are pretty cool, especially for a throwback uniform. It does look a lot more new school, especially compared to the old throwback unis that we've seen in our lifetime. They did have one. They've had a couple different throwbacks. They had a more tan gold throwback back in the 90s, too, that looked even shittier than the last ones that people really complained about. But I loved them. It really does look like you gave it to like a designer, and it's like if you described what the Packers colors are and the uniform to someone who is blind, but they could design stuff, that's what they came up with. It's like just a revamped version of the Packers.
Interesting.
But
yeah.
I haven't bought a jersey in years, but now it's like, God, I'm to that point where I'll be turning 30 in the next couple months. And it's like, I do kind of believe in that thing where you shouldn't.
One of those guys.
Yeah. Where you shouldn't. I mean, I have like, you know, 10 or 12 jerseys, a lot of them that I got signed back from when I went to training camp as a kid. But now it's like I do kind of subscribe to that, maybe only buy jerseys of people who are older than you. So
I think it's a weird, like, I guess I understand why you, like, a person personally wouldn't want to wear a jersey because, oh, it's another grown man, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the people who are like so like staunchly like almost offended by it, where it's like, you're wearing another grown man's jersey. It's like, relax, dude. I like football and I like supporting my team. Just, you know, chill out. I mean, now if you're wearing it to like, you know, the your Wednesday shift or something, maybe that's a little weird. Yeah. But like wearing it on game day, completely fine.
Yeah, because that thought popped up because I was like, yeah, if I got a new jersey, I'd want to get Jair Alexander. Then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm breaking the rule that I kind of set in my head. So,
but another subtle thing about the uniforms, the helmets. Really loved the helmets, the all yellow with the gray face mask. Thought that looked really clean.
Yeah, I like that as well. It's one of the things, because even with the old throwbacks, that even kind of went through an evolution where they had a brown helmet and then just the yellow helmet.
Oh, yeah.
And they
and
changed
then,
the
wasn't
pants.
It a blue helmet?
No, it was a tan helmet.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Oh, I think it was. I'm thinking back to the Donald Driver crazy sick catch against the Niners. They were wearing those throwbacks.
I'm
almost positive it's a blue helmet.
If you look
God
it up,
damn it, Hank, this is where we need
you. You can look it up right now, but I can tell you with pretty good confidence, because on eBay there's a brown throwback helmet of Dmitri Nance, which is for sale for like $500 from the Super Bowl year.
Okay.
And I remember it was brown helmets, because they did brown helmets at the beginning, but then after the NFL brought in this rule where you have to wear the same helmet all year, so that's when later on that yeah that
damn it.
what did you find out, Kyle?
Well, it's not tan, so we're both
brown going, whatever
brown it is brown and but, they actually had the gray face oh yeah, those are a little bit better than I remembered.
I thought those jerseys got more shit than they should have, but as I was saying, they changed it to the yellow helmet later on because you had to wear the same helmet all year.
It was
so
a,
they
yeah,
just
yeah,
took the G's
NFL
yeah and everything off it rule. Move on, but I did really enjoy the uniforms. Hopefully they bring them back next year as well.
I mean, like, God, is it really that big of a logistical nightmare to maybe slip in another game with them on? I don't see the problem. I really hope we see them again.
I hope so too. It's funny, it's cool to see, because the Packers are such a great organization. Even players mm-hmm. who weren't active on game day or practice squad players too, I believe, were given throwback uniforms
nice.
As well. So it's cool that the Packers
now I'm trying to think like what in a way version of that would be, and it'd probably be a disaster, right? Like all white with yellow numbers, or would you do
ugh.
You'd probably do green numbers then, huh?
You're saying that jersey for away?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All white with green could ooh, that could look really good.
Yeah, that makes me think of
the Color Rush.
That's what I was gonna say.
Oh yeah, isn't that what that was?
I would do that instead. Yeah. It would be
well,
pretty close
same
to
thing.
It.
Thing. You'd just be a little anyways, yeah. Moving on.
No G's on the helmet. But yes, we will have a normal episode, probably a little shorter this week. We are in a short week as well. We'll have our normal pick six, break down the
dropping
offense.
Dropping like flies.
Yeah, yeah, offense, defense. We'll have take news. I do want to talk about, I wish we had Hank here to get his opinion on it too, but very optimistic week overall for the Packers. I'm starting to wonder if Aaron Rodgers is going to be back next year. We'll have Is Kyle an Idiot for the Week? And we'll, of course, have a preview of the Cardinals game and obviously have to talk about the COVID shit going on in the Packers locker room. But first, pick six.
Guys.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six.
All right,
beautiful.
First piss six.
Beautiful.
And maybe I should start taking
yeah,
over the
look
all
at you.
Rights.
You could be a host.
Kind of got to drag that out a little bit. First pick six play of the game. It was third and 11 on the first drive. It was a very, very long, methodical drive. Third and 11 after a sack on second and one, I believe.
Yep.
Rodgers danced around in the pocket. He's got time. He's got a highway in front of him. Takes it 15 yards, scampers, does a little not a nice little first down point. Love a good first down point. I've mentioned that before. And then a couple plays later, it leads to the ridiculous, ridiculous throw across the body. Granted, it was 7-8 yards down past the line of scrimmage, but still, nonetheless, it's like commentators always say it's like the cardinal sin for quarterbacks to throw
yeah.
across your body, across the field like that. But, I mean, this is Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams we're talking about here, so those rules don't really apply. And touchdown, Packers up 7-0. It was a awesome first drive. Like I said, it was really long, chip, couple third down conversions there, big one on third and 11, and then the fourth down conversion, touchdown. So,
yeah,
hot start.
Huge, great. Great opening series for a game, especially against, I don't know. Maybe the Packers have been so good in our lifetime where if we don't come out and score on the first drive against subpar teams, you're almost like, is this going to be a trap game or not? So for that first drive to go as well as it did with the fun plays mixed in there, like you said, the Aaron Rodgers run, it's funny how Pete Daughtry, I forgot, he's not on Twitter, but he's one of the more prominent guys on the beat for the Packers. Like a month ago, he mentioned Rodgers slowing down, and since then, he's just been kind of jabbing back at Pete in the press. Well, the last few weeks, he's had a lot of, you know, he had the touchdown run, obviously, last week with the Bears, and then this, where he did look pretty quick on that run, too. But that fourth down play, like you said, you're not supposed to throw it across the field. It was one of those where I think a lot of people have the same thought process where you're watching it live and you're like, Devontae, right. I know you're not supposed to,
right.
But Devontae. And it's like, if you can see it that clear, what's so bad about it? It's not like it's the Richard Rodgers TCF bank touchdown from 5-6 years ago or whatever, where you're actually throwing it that far across the field. But
I think it's just maybe our perception from the broadcast view is just warped, because you got to remember this NFL speed, like windows close a second, and the ball has to just think like the route the ball has to travel to. Like if Devontae was even 3 yards deeper, that's probably either incomplete or intercepted. It was crazy play to make, and glad they made it.
Another overlooked aspect, and I did tweet this out today, just the stupid meme type thing, is Rodgers makes the throw and immediately falls over. Kind of everything else looked very athletic, but that looked very unathletic.
I mean, come on, give him a break. It was such across his body.
Oh, no, shit.
And it was an absurdly accurate throw, too, and a tight-ass spiral. So, like, he had to, like, really, I don't know how much, like, torque he needed to create with his arm, but it was obviously a shitload and enough to, like, cause his momentum to just bring him to the ground.
I know, and I get you criticizing me for criticizing him, mm-hmm. but we got to find something to criticize about the guy.
Fair enough.
It was just weird because, you know, he's running, not full speed, but running to the right and then having to stop and throw to the left, and he just kind of tumbles over. It's like, okay.
Well, it's like he didn't even stop. That's the thing. I think that's why, like, his momentum was so, so towards the sideline that, he just... And like that, I think the screenshot you posted with it looked exactly like
the he just looked so helpless.
The life alert. I've fallen and I can't get out.
I was surprised that no one in the media or on the Pat McAfee show brought it up this week. I would have liked to hear Rodgers, whatever excuse, or maybe he would have made fun of himself on it.
Yeah. I mean, he's good at laughing at himself.
Moving on, next pick six play. The score obviously is 7-0. First and 10, 2 minutes left in the first on the 40. Jalen Smith rushes up the middle, pressures Heinicke, who just gets out of it. The running back was there who picked up the blitz.
Gibson.
Gibson throws it up in the air. Heinicke, Stokes misjudges it, and Terry McLaurin comes down with the ball to tie the game at 7. Play kind of reminded me of the Savage play against the Bengals, where it's kind of obviously not as deep or, I don't know, break your heart type of play, but God, it really looked like Stokes should have came down with that ball. Obviously, everyone said this week as well how coming out of the draft, the one knock against Stokes was he isn't the best at playing the ball. He's not much of a playmaker, and kind of proved that there later on. Obviously, he did a lot better, but that was, you know, the first drive after that, it's like, okay, maybe this will be a little closer than we first expected.
Yeah, definitely one of those where it felt like the ball was up in the air forever and that the DB could have, like, fair caught it.
Which Heinicke threw, I mean, how many ducks did he throw in that game where he was just killing his guys?
A lot of missed throws. Yeah. But I think a little bit more concerning than that was Jalen Smith was untouched until he got to the running back. Like, lineman picked him up at all. And I really wish I would have saw him just blow up the RB and just because if he would have just, you know, battering rammed right into Gibson, I think it would have, you know, made Heinicke, you know, step back and kind of blow back a little bit and have to get out of the pocket and not be so comfortable making that throw. But he kind of tries to go around Gibson and then he misses him. And then by that time, he has plenty of time to make the throw. And you just wish you would see Jalen when he's untouched like that, just kind of blow up the running back and just try to collapse the pocket himself.
Yeah, it is one of those because you're not wrong, but at the same time, like I said, if Stokes, it's funny how the ends don't always, you know, connect to the beginning, but if Stokes makes that pick, we'd be looking at Jalen and be like, hey, that was a great pressure to force an INT. So I guess it really just depends on what happens at the end there. But it is, I mean, Jalen Smith did seem to have a better game after really, really struggling week one. Week one for him, I should say.
Third pick six play, a couple of gross drives by both teams. Pretty much both teams had long, methodical touchdown opening drives and then just kind of like
ref assisted drives as well.
We've
had too much talk of them.
The D line, for Washington was collapsing the pocket pretty quickly. So drives would stall out in the first and second quarter, but then the Alan Lazard drive came to life. He had like four catches for 50 yards on that drive alone. Obviously caught the touchdown, and Packers go up 14-7. And yeah, there's really no specific play in that drive. It's just the Alan Lazard drive.
Yeah, I believe the touchdown was caught on a 3rd and 6, which is a nice little cap. Obviously, it was an important play on third down. And
the third down catcher.
Yeah, and of course Lazard's going to come down with it. It was interesting because that was in the second quarter, and that made me think that, oh, maybe this is going to be, well, before this game, what would you have said was the Alan Lazard game? Maybe there's two that come to mind.
The Saints.
Yeah, the Saints, and then what would your second one be?
Not the Giants. That's just the first one that popped in my head.
I would say the Eagles game where when Devontae went down went up to Rodgers or whatever.
Well, that's what he became a meme. Yeah. That was great.
But yeah, it was not the Alan Lazard game because it was someone else's game. The fourth pick six play, 2nd and 4, first drive after the Packers made it 7-14. Gary forces a fumble on the blind side of Heinicke. Dean Lowry catches the fumble, which I feel like he does just about every other year. And the Packers score a couple plays later with a touchdown to Tonyan to make it 7-21. But this was the Rashawn Gary game. We'll probably talk about him later as well. But I believe he ended up with 10 pressures. Ooh. He had multiple sacks. You know, the forced fumble there, which really did. I mean, if there's one play that really changed the game, it was that to, you know, switch the field position that deep.
100%. And yes, Rashawn Gary has arrived. He is a good football player. But yes, because that was the second play of the second half. And it was still, you know, it was 14-7 ball game. Mm-hmm. Not over by any means. But And granted, as a Packer fan, as an entitled, spoiled Packer fan, they're so much better than this team. Like, come on, let's just. But then it's still nice for it to still be flipped on its head. All of a sudden, it's 14-7. You're on defense to 14-7, you're in the red zone in one play.
Yes.
So, flip the game on its head, and then a couple plays later to Tonyan, 21-7. And then you just kind of feel like you're in cruise. It's like Heinicke's not going to score 15 unanswered points. Come on.
It is kind of like the Bears game the week before, too, where once we're up 2 scores against a pretty incompetent offense, it's like, okay, I'll worry once they get within a score again.
Right.
Obviously, that didn't happen. But God, I mean, Gary was close on a couple of them too, on that freaking Heinicke run of like 40 yards or whatever the hell it was.
Mm.
Gary was another inch and he would have had him. But
I think Gary especially is like Zadarius or Preston or Preston sort of. Kenny, not really. They don't seem to have that many close calls. But Gary just always seems to just be like, oh my God, if he would have just like been 0.2 seconds quicker, he's there. But tough. I mean, Heinicke was running all over. I think he had, 95 yards on the ground?
Yes, he did have the 95. I forgot if it was at the very end of the game or the end of the first half, but you could tell, you know, how he took the snap and just ran forward. You could tell he just did because he's like, I want 100 yards.
Yeah.
that's what he was going for.
I respect that.
But last thing on Gary, too. It's nice how with Z and Preston both being out for the first time ever for the Packers, obviously that was Preston's first game he's ever missed. It was cool to see Gary have the best game of his career. You know, so think if nothing else, he's, you know,
would have loved a good revenge game narrative for Preston though.
It's really sad because we could have had a doubleheader, not a doubleheader exactly, but revenge game because Jay Sternberger our boy was inactive for the game.
Is he
so
healthy scratch or
is he on the 53? Believe so. Yes, he's on their 53 because he first got where did he go first?
Seattle.
So he was on Seattle's practice squad and he got snatched up and put on Washington's 53.
Because he couldn't even, he was a healthy scratch, and I think Logan Thomas is still out.
Right. I mean, it's probably Washington's probably early on with their, well, obviously they are with Jay Sternberger, and they're like, well, maybe we just need a couple more weeks for him to learn the playbook.
They'll learn soon enough.
And it'll take two seasons for them to figure out, oh, he's not going to learn the playbook.
All right. The fifth Piss Six play, this was a doozy. Third and goal, Washington has the ball on our, 4 or 5 yard line, something like that. Five minutes left in the third. It's 21-7. It's still obviously a ball game, which, like I said to you, felt like Washington was in the red zone for the entire second half. And this kind of accentuates that because Heinicke snaps the ball, rolls out, and then just gives himself up at the goal line. And
very strange.
You know, I guess it, in the moment when I watched it, I didn't really think anything of it. I didn't like, I wasn't like, no, he gave himself up. I was just like, oh, yeah. Fuck, they scored, you know? And then you kind of see this, the goal line ref right there, like,
and it made
like
you go,
he doesn't signal right away where it's like obvious, like it's an easy signal if you're going to signal. And then he's kind of like, you almost like feel him say to himself, what the hell is this guy doing? Right. And then they review it. And yeah, obviously no touchdown. And I don't know what your take on it is, but I kind of like the rule just because someone said, and the way they put it is, I'm sorry, I'm stealing someone's take. I can't remember who I got it from.
We're more important.
There's so many rules in place to protect the quarterback already that, you know, if you're going to do shit like that, you know, the rules are there to protect you. So you are protected.
You're not wrong. It's such a weird rule, though, because it isn't a quarterback rule either. If it's any runner, if Aaron Jones would have done something like that, Dean Blandino, I listened to him earlier this week and he was talking about it. If it's any player, if they go down like that,
that's what it was.
They're giving themselves up. So it's very strange. I can't remember. I don't know if after they scored, I ran to take a piss or if they went to commercial break. But right when I saw the screen again, they're just showing the replay of him going down on his knee. It's like, yes, bullshit is now ensuing in this game. It can't hurt us. What did you? I posted it on there, and I think it was like 80% of people were fine with it. But what did you think of Heinicke doing the Lambo leap after that non-touchdown?
Oh, yeah, not a huge fan, just because, you know, you're the away team. And but then I also see the side of it. It's like, well, you don't want him to Lambo lead. Don't let him score. Right. Yeah. But then I also heard about the whole story about him growing up and being a Packers fan and his dad being a big and stuff like that. Yeah. So I softened on a little bit. I'm not going to fucking get my panties in a bunch over that shit.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think I'm as much, especially with the bullshit Martellus Bennett shit over the weekend. I was pretty proud of the fan base for not being complete assholes when that happened too. I did like the Heinicke story. I believe his father's name was Brett even, and he passed away 10 years ago. I think Taylor Heinicke said the last game he was able to watch with his dad was the Packers Super Bowl.
Oh, damn.
But it is pretty funny. Not a great segue.
Weird
there.
Transition.
Heinicke comes into Lambeau and he wears number 4. Obviously, he grew up loving Brett Favre as his dad did. And he had such a Brett Favre, like
just slinging it all over.
End of the road type of, like a shitty, maybe a shitty, like young Favre game where the sacks, the, you know, suicide balls and
let
all
it
that.
Fly, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was very entertaining to watch Heinicke play, even though they only put up the 10 points.
Yeah, I mean, Heinicke, at the end of the day, he's going to remember that for the rest of his life, like getting to Lambeau Leap. But yeah, so I'm not too pissed about it. Like now, if he was like a douche about it and like kind of, you know, talking shit to the fans and, you know, sort of, and they ended up beating us, then yeah, I'd probably be pissed.
Yes.
For now, it's like, you know, have your participation trophy.
It did seem like it was a bit of a like belt curse too, because after that, obviously on fourth down, you know, they didn't score either.
Rich, yeah, that's a part of this sort of pick six play is, yeah, on fourth down, they do the QB sneak. He reaches, doesn't get it initially, gets it poked out, picks it up, then reaches again. And we talked about this before the recording. Like, I thought Greg Olsen had a great question, and it was Blandino that I was thinking of. It wasn't Pereira.
Okay.
He asked Blandino, which I thought was a fantastic question I wanted to know the answer to. He's like, now, Dean, once he reaches, gets it knocked out, and picks it up again, does he get the credit to advance the ball forward? And Dean just completely ignored the question and just like talked a bunch of bullshit and just like filled air. And I was like, well, okay, that helped us none.
Yeah.
And I guess, yeah, he didn't get the credit for it. Good call, and going the other way.
Yeah, glad we're fans of the Packers, especially. It was another one of those games where, depending on how you look at it, last week too with the Bears, some fans, it's like, oh, the Packers seem to get a lot of calls, but whatever. Speaking of getting pissed off, perhaps there, the last piss six play backed up in the third quarter, pretty much out of our own end zone. Rodgers drops back, lobs it up to Devontae Adams, last play of the third, makes an acrobatic catch, which eventually leads to a field goal. But ridiculous. It was one of the fun plays, and it seems like the longer the league has gone on, we see less of these acrobatic sideline catches. Like Jordy, I feel like, had several. And Devontae, you know, it just doesn't seem to happen as often. But he, like, you know, starts to catch it, then has it with the one arm, and you don't even know how the ball get through the Washington defender's arms. Absurd. Once again, showing why he's the best receiver in the league.
Yeah, I thought that play was super important just because it was first and 17, you know, super backed up. You never like, though, especially on such a long down and distance like that, you know, 17 yards to the six or to the sticks. You're so backed up, you almost just like feel suffocate, like someone's sitting on you.
Yeah.
You can't really breathe until, you know, you have some breathing room. And just, I mean, yeah, again, a throw that we'll forget about in 3 weeks, a catch we'll forget about in 3 weeks. That's just like most fan bases would, it would be like in a promo for, yes, for like a pregame sort, yep, of thing. Like, just so absurd, which then, yeah, like you said, led to 3 points on the drive, which, you know, going up three possessions, going up 17 in the fourth quarter, it was like, okay, this game's over. So,
yep.
And that's why after that, it was, yeah, game over.
It's nice to have that stress-free football. But it was one of those throws, and, you know, the best combination in the league. Obviously, Rodgers, one of the best ever. Devontae, the best receiver in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It really does feel like Rodgers just drops back, and he's like, you know, let's see what happens. Let's see if this works. It's like, why not?
It's like, so, like the demeanor, yeah, is so just casual. Like, let's try this.
They're the well maybe throws.
Yeah, it's like, why not? And every single time you feel like you get that result, and yeah, just keep doing it.
Yeah. Eventually, like we said, the Packers score. Washington ends up with a field goal to finish the game out at 10-24.
24-10.
24-10. Yeah, sorry. It's usually, that's a season one bit.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible one at that. But moving on, talking about the offense, Aaron Rodgers, great game, 27 for 35, 274 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, was sacked 3 times. I mean, I just don't know what to say about him at this point. It was really cool. I love, once again, talking about the jerseys, there's the shot of him doing the fist.
Yes.
His typical fist, and it's just it was cool. I think Evan Siegel, the Packers photographer, had a busy day, because, you know, he was like, all right, they were like, all right, you got to take more pictures than normal because of these jerseys.
Unions, yep.
So it's cool to see post game all the different shots of Aaron Rodgers throughout the game. But I mean, God, I don't even know what else to say about him at this point.
Yeah, just like, yeah. We're just going to miss these days so much.
Are we?
When's
it
going to
be?
I mean, even just like, 275 for 3 touchdowns and 8 incompletions. And it's like, that's a career day for 27 quarterbacks. And well, okay, maybe not 27, but like 23 quarterbacks. And it literally felt like Rodgers didn't even do anything that particularly special.
Yeah.
And I love him so much.
Effortless.
We all need to just soak this in and just absorb it as much as we can, because when it's gone, there's going to be pain.
And I've started this mindset like 5 years ago. I think when he turned like 33, I was like, oh man, God, we're starting to get at the back end. But now it's like, I've already had to do that mental gymnastics of, what will I do if he plays for like the Broncos? Like, am I going to watch Broncos games next year? I mean, who knows what's going to end up happening.
I have like a, let's do a quick tangent. I have like a list of like, I think, I don't really know, maybe like four or five teams where it's just like an absolute no. actually, it's probably not even that many. It's obviously the Vikings.
NFC, all of them, out the window. There's no way he
pretty much
for
all
NFC.
But like in terms of like particular, like I physically cannot, as much as I want to, I physically cannot root for you. Yeah, it's like the Vikings, the Seahawks, the Niners.
Well, what about this? So I don't think there's any way he plays for the NFC. It was very telling, maybe not
the Bears, obviously,
last week, but against the Bears, they asked, I think Ryan Wood or someone asked, could you ever see yourself?
Now that was an emphatic no.
It was an immediate no.
Like
and
firm, like, don't ask me that bullshit again type of no.
And one thing, and a lot of people really soured on Rodgers this offseason, obviously, and a lot of those people were big Brett Favre fans. It's become pretty clear to me that there's no fucking chance in hell that Aaron Rodgers is going to play for a team, even if he becomes a free agent somehow. He's not going to play for the Lions or the Vikings or the Bears because he saw what happened with Brett Favre's legacy.
And probably still to this day.
Exactly. And I don't think he's going to fuck around with that. Maybe he will eventually end up with an NFC team, but...
Wow, that's crazy. I am what he sees. I still have some resentment towards Favre for that bullshit.
It is amazing. And so, like I already said, so many people soured on him this year. If what Favre did in 2009, 2008, whatever it was, happened this past year with social media, it is so much worse than what Rodgers did. Rodgers literally did nothing.
Yes.
He was pissed. 1,000%. And he didn't say shit until he came back. And when he came back, he explained it pretty damn well. So I don't know how.
100%.
I get it that he's a little more surly and Favre's, you know,
close to the vest, and
Favre's a little more lovable and aw shucks with his southern charm and all that shit. But I don't even know where this began, but I just want to throw. Oh, how about this? So I don't think he's ever going to play for an NFC team. Patriots.
That's where I'm.
That's like
but
nightmare.
I realized now that, you know, Brady's gone. I think it was more of a Brady thing just because I just hate how much people underestimate, like.
God,
it's so tough because I sound like such a hating ass bitch, but like the defenses he played with and just the coaching and the support and the
it's
it was
absurd.
Just so tailor made for a great quarterback to win a lot of games. And I just, like I said, I sound like a hating ass bitch trying to discredit Tom Brady, but I don't think it'd be as bad because I like Belichick a lot. I like his philosophy and his kind of no nonsense.
God, this is quite a weird tangent, but I don't want to get off it because now I'm wondering, and I obviously love Aaron Rodgers. I think everything's been overblown about his whole persona, everything, his entire career. It's nice that with McAfee, he's been able to create his own narrative and kind of explain some things when before that, the media kind of just did what they wanted. I would love to see what the fuck happens if him and Belichick had to work together because although he gets along very well with Matt LaFleur, it is a very open offense. Like Rodgers does whatever he wants for the most part. He makes checks, you know, like last week with Devontae, which was an old Mike McCarthy offense check. I wonder if he would bash heads with Belichick.
Because
that would be very
interesting.
I don't
think Belichick was really ever involved with the offense. Like he just took over the defense and like I'm pretty sure Brady had free reign to do whatever the hell he wanted, just like Rodgers does at the line of scrimmage. I think that would be a powerhouse of a partnership for sure.
Yeah, God, it's interesting. It's one of those. It's like, God, I'm curious to see how that would be. And then I'm like, wait a minute, no, I want nothing to do with that. Moving on to the wide receivers. Much better day than the running backs. Leading off, of course, Devontae Adams, 6 receptions, 76 yards, the 1 touchdown. I don't know. We talked about him a lot. Best receiver in the league. It's just ridiculous at this point. Once again, off the line, I don't think there's anyone better. It's weird because we had Greg Jennings, who was such a great route runner. And with Devontae, it's like that plus, because it's a great route runner plus the shit he does at the line, which we've talked about so much this year. Alan Lazard, we talked about the Alan Lazard drive. He did end up with 5 catches, 60 yards, the 1 touchdown.
4 catches on 1 drive.
Yeah. Randall Cobb, a weird game where him and Lazard both had multiple catches, 3 receptions, 22 yards, whatever. EQ. So I'll just say this. I was much too harsh on EQ last week. I put him in the, you know, least favorite Packers category. I'm going to take him off. He's
neutral.
I like him again, at least, because one, the jet sweep was awesome. You know, picked up 13 on that. but also on special teams. He's actually turned into a pretty good special teams player, which early in his career he was kind of a liability, but it's nice because, if like we've always said about him, he's tall, he's fast, he's built, kind of a perfect Jeff Janis type, you know, special teams gunner. So hopefully he can keep doing that.
Yeah, quick side note, the Cobb, one of the Cobb catches, again, just a throw that we're going to long for. Like, it's the classic, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And there was a one, I think it was a third down or maybe second down throw to Cobb over the middle that was just sticky coverage, perfect coverage, and he just fit it right there to where Cobb didn't have to break stride or anything, and it was just ridiculous, and I just wanted to point that out. But it's such a bleh throw to all of us because it's just so customary.
Especially like, I mean, we've said it a lot this episode, but you look at the Monday Night Football game last week, or you look at what the Bears did on offense on Sunday, it's like, we are so goddamn blessed.
Or yeah, that Monday Night game last night, I mean, dreadful. Geno Smith, woof.
Yeah, crazy. I forgot that he was still in the league until obviously Russell Wilson got hurt. But yeah, moving on to the running backs. Woof. I mean, Rodgers had the best average far and away, obviously, with 8.5, but even his his 17 yards was
just
the,
on one run.
The second most for the team. Aaron Jones had 6 carries for 19 yards, a 3.2 average. A.J. Dillon had the 3 carries for 6 yards, and why don't we start with him? Obviously, that didn't matter. It was a 2-yard average, but also he had the 2 fumbles. I don't think he saw the field again after the second fumble. But a little concerning. I think Hank thinks he jinxed him. I think I jinxed him a little bit too. After last week, I said he's great at everything. Well, I forgot about the fumbles, I suppose. I can't remember if he did that last year, but the one thing we could always say about Jamal Williams, if nothing else, is, and I still don't believe he's ever fumbled in his career. I think he has the record now for the longest streak without a fumble.
Really?
In the NFL. It's some record
That's
like
cool.
that. But both fumbles were in the second half. He only had the 6 carries, and he had 2 fumbles. We talked about it last week where we were able to
grind. I
think grind.
One was a catch, though. So
oh, was it?
I
okay.
believe, yeah. One of the fumbles was from a catch. But yeah, still concerning that.
The guy you want to grind out the game.
33% of your carries resulted in a fumble.
Both again, in the 3 carries. Both in the second half, you want to have a big guy like that who can grind out a game. And now it's like, fuck. That's going to be, it's like the Hunter Bradley thing where that's going to be in the back
now
of my
that,
head.
Now that we've seen it, let alone in bunches like that, twice in a game, it's going to be a concern. Even in December, I feel like we're still going to have that, you know, oh, remember that Washington game sort of feeling, but not too worried.
Yeah. And Aaron Jones did have 5 receptions as well for 20 yards, but yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, really not much doing for the running backs, obviously, and I think it's just because, like I said, that Washington D line is legit. Their best position group on the team by far. One of the best D lines in the league. So yeah, it's just tough to block them and tough to get any holes.
Yeah, it is. Like you said, it is tough. But God, at the same time, only 10 rushes that weren't from Rodgers or EQ.
It doesn't seem like the Matt LaFleur we're accustomed to. Because you know that would make more sense if we were losing in
yes.
parts of the game, but pretty much in control that whole game, and to still only see 10 carries is a little odd.
Yeah, it was nice that we at least finished with a win. Usually, if we do ever lose, which is obviously pretty rare, Matt, like we said, Matt LaFleur,
we can just
we should have
sit here and bitch about 10 carries. Yeah.
Yep. Tight ends on National Tight End Day.
Robert, I mean, what? Hold on. What was the deal with that? What like? Why were they trying to make that a thing?
Well,
okay, we get it.
I believe it was started by Greg Kittle, which, I mean, God, good for him, because what a brand you have built in a
it
year.
It was on every broadcast, and like it's like,
well, it's
okay.
That's what it was, because it was one, the tight end university thing, which we talked about this offseason, too, how I said Jace wasn't invited and everyone else on the Packers seemed to be there. But it is a Greg Kittle type thing, and I guess with Greg Olsen doing the color commentator, we weren't going to avoid it.
Well, like even on like the red zone and like the Monday or the Sunday night, like I just felt like it was everywhere. And it's like, how many times are they going to try and slide in that it's National Tight End Day?
Yeah, you're not wrong, but I guess there's much worse things. I hadn't thought of it that way. Usually I'm a little bit more cynical than that, so maybe I should have been.
Yeah,
but
come on, I'm doing your job, buddy.
Big Dog, well, I guess, did I even say? No, I didn't say, but
no, but he's the best tight end in the league.
That's wild. Yeah, finally, Robert Tonyan, 4 receptions, 63 yards, the one touchdown, finally getting that touchdown we've been waiting for. Almost had your one off.
Mm.
Is that two? Yeah, it's 2 weeks in a row, too, where you...
AJ, I had Tonyan.
Yeah.
Tough.
But hey, at least you tried. Nice to see him. He had a couple receptions, too, which, I mean, God, there's been a couple of games this year where he's just disappeared.
Yeah, they said on the broadcast when he had a nice catch for a first down, he had just eclipsed 100 yards on the season after catch, and it was like, wow, yeah, he's been very dormant this year.
Mercedes Lewis, Big Dog, 3 receptions, 31 yards.
He's best tight end in the league.
He's just so awesome. I love him so much. I don't know what you can say about him. 37 years old, oldest tight end in the league, still says he's going to play for 3 more years. I don't think he gets tackled on his whenever he gets a catch. The first guy can't bring him.
Yes.
It just doesn't happen this year.
And we were talking before too that like I almost don't feel super comfortable anymore like relentlessly bringing up his age, because then like we're going to like speak him in to looking old. But like if we just pretend he's 31 years old, he'll just keep, I mean, you could tell me he's 31 years old and I believe you.
Yeah.
He looks so fresh and so good, and he's never on the injury report. He's never like taking plays off. He's a beast, and I'm one of my favorite Packers of my lifetime.
Yeah. Doesn't take plays off, but he does take Thursdays off as veteran rest because he is.
Damn it. No.
But yeah, he's almost like the most reliable guy on offense right now. We just don't have to go through him, which is nice. Packers offensive line, probably the worst game they've had this year. It was the
tall task. Keep saying it.
The first time I can remember Rodgers not giving them praise after the game. He said they didn't block that well up front. And obviously, with the way the rushing attack went too, you know, you kind of see it there. I mean, there was a couple guys who just came absolutely free off the line. Lucas Patrick had a rough, I don't know how he finished the game. But God, there was that one up the middle where the guy just ran right around him for the sack.
Yeah, like I said, it was pretty much, it just, the drives after the first drive when they went up 7-0, you know, they didn't score again until 2 minutes left in the first half. So like all of those drives, it just felt like, the O-line was getting their lunch taken.
I will say this, the good play that Patrick did have was on one of A.J. Dillon's fumble. He did run in there and jump on it.
Mm,
so
that was because that we were backed up on our own 15. So, yeah, that was huge.
Yeah. So shout out to Lucas Patrick with the jet ski helmet, which is still just a very. It's such a weird looking. Yeah. I get it. Like, I don't know.
And it's not even one of those where you like look up close. You can almost like see from afar that it's weird looking.
I mean, I understand getting a little extra protection, but it just looks absolutely absurd. Moving on to the defense, we'll start with Devondre Campbell. I don't know, Kyle, do we have any more words that we can use to describe him at
like
this point?
We're just beating a dead horse at this point.
Led the team in tackles. He had 10 solo tackles too. He's one of the,
isn't he? He's not the eighth highest rated inside linebacker. He's the eighth highest rated defensive player in the league.
According to Pro Football Focus, which is, it's funny how it's like every week it's like, okay, how are we going to top it? Now it's gone from, wow, he's a decent linebacker. Wow, he's the best linebacker the Packers have had in a decade. Wow, he's one of the better inside linebackers in the league at this point somehow.
He had a good quote today. I'm sure you saw this, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said, you know, this is the first system he's in where he can just be a linebacker. He said a lot of systems he was in, you know, he almost had to be DB where, you know, you're asking to be in coverage a lot, you know, outside of the box, he said. But in this system, he can just be like a true linebacker, make plays with inside the box. And God, I mean, he keeps making plays inside the box. Like,
yeah. And I
just I'll say it again, sticky tackler. Like it's like, for my NBA fans out there, it's like Steph Curry with threes. Like when Steph misses a three,
sure,
I'm surprised. I'm no longer surprised at the absurd threes that he makes, but when he misses a three, I'm surprised. And that's how I feel when Devondre misses a tackle, which I simply have not seen yet.
Yeah, and I love what you talked about there too about his comments, because I did see those as well, and it made me go back because I did remember, and we talked about this quite a bit before too, the last two seasons was with Mike Pettine and how, you know, with the team too, he kind of just used that inside linebacker position to do kind of whatever, but mm-hmm. They didn't have that much freedom. Blake Martinez, even when he signed with the Giants initially, he was saying how the scheme in Green Bay kind of limited what he could do. The big thing with Barry when he obviously came over to Green Bay was he elevates the players that he has. He plays to the player's strengths that he has, and I've mentioned this earlier this year. We talked about last year with Pettine wanting to find a bitch kitty, which was the term, which is Rashawn Gary or Z.
Bitch kitty,
that you can kind of move around the front. Huh. So, and it was with McCarthy, too, how it was a very stagnant offense where you have certain roles that certain players play. And now with on offense now and on defense with Joe Barry this year, it seems he finds the role for the guys. And Devondre Campbell, that's exactly what he was talking about, how the system allows him to play to his strengths, which, I mean, fuck. There's so many questions this offseason, but the Devondre Campbell contract is going to be like, fuck, it would be so Packers to finally find an inside linebacker and not be able to afford him because you have to keep like Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, maybe.
Is it just a 1-year deal he signed?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I just wonder like if he's ever been put in a system like this. I mean, he must not have been, because if he would have like this, I feel like this would have flashed, because like why was this dude unemployed until what, August?
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. And it's, I don't know. It's absurd too. I don't know if he exactly said this, but if it wasn't him, he agreed with someone who said like, you know, he's always been Robin and now he's finally allowed to be Batman, which I mean, fuck, there's, I don't even know if there's any Robins on what, I don't know what lesser than Robin is at the inside linebacker position. I guess Chris Barnes is pretty solid, but it's like we've got super Batman and a bunch of like just terrible knockoff Robins for the most part.
All right.
Moving on to the defensive line, Kenny Clark, solid game again. I mean, I don't know what you could say about him, but Dean Lowry, I think I figured it out now, especially, well, we'll see what happens on Thursday. Kenny Clark is awesome. In December, we know he's going to perform as long as he doesn't have a groin injury like he had last year. Kenny Clark is the December. Dean Lowry, I think he might be the October. It's, you know, Kenny Clark's a grizzly in December, and Dean Lowry is a black bear in October, which is obviously, as we all know, living in the Midwest, everyone listening too as well, I'm sure. Black bears aren't very big. Grizzly bears are fucking gigantic.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, you know, a lesser than monster up front.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, I don't know if I'd give Dean the bear title yet.
I'm trying to be
any sort of bear.
We never get to talk about him.
I feel like
so
we should reserve that for, you know, true domination, which, I mean, hey, Kiki keeps this up.
I was about to say, well, if we're going to talk about producing there, and maybe who could have the name, Kingsley Kiki, six tackles. He had
six tackles.
Yep. Wow. One and a half sacks, obviously a tackle for loss. I mean, just, and once again, I think I said it last year too, if Kingsley Kiki has a good game, if he has a sack, Rashawn Gary is also going to have a good game. They're buddies too. It's funny, you see them on like Instagram and shit. Like they're the guys who drive together to practice, always nice, hanging out. And when Kiki performs, his buddy Gary at least gets a sack as well.
Love that shit. Love the synergy. And yeah, the Kiki, like he's had kind of a roller coaster of a year,
yeah,
I believe. So yeah, I hopefully he can just keep riding the highs.
I don't know if we've said this on the podcast either, but Jerry Montgomery said a couple of weeks ago, I think the first game where Kiki kind of showed up, he's like, I told him to just stop thinking and to be physical. And since then, it's funny how it's like the dumbest shit you hear that seems to actually work.
Sometimes, yeah, it's as simple as, yeah, just like a bullshit piece of advice like that.
It's like, I can't remember if we've talked about it before. Do you remember what got Mason Crosby out of that initial slump he had back in like 2013, 2015, whatever the hell it was when he was terrible?
Tequila.
Charles Woodson came up to him and knew he was down in the dumps, and he was like, hey, man, like, I don't go out and try to be a defensive back or be a corner. You got to stop trying to be a kicker and just be a kicker. And that is that's what got him out of the funk.
It's
something very close to that, but it's literally
sounds like it worked.
It's like, stop trying to think like you're a kicker, like you are a kicker.
I was like, I thought something profound was about to come out, but he's just like, no, just don't be a kicker, just be a kicker.
That's what I mean. Sometimes it's the stupid shit that works. Yep. I mean, that's football, just football, guys. Moving on to outside linebacker. As we mentioned, Preston Smith was out. Za'Darius is obviously still out. Filling in, Rashawn Gary, he did have 7 tackles, 2 sacks, career game for him. I don't know what else to say.
Rashawn Gary, was it?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I zoned out there.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah, he has arrived. Rashawn Gary is a good football player, and God, like, I wonder how Brian hate doing this, but I wonder how Brian Burns is doing, because admittedly, I was big on Brian Burns.
Me too.
And the last 2 years, Brian Burns has probably put up better statistics. I mean, I don't know about the advance.
He has, yes, but per snap.
But now it's like, I don't care about Brian Burns. Like, if this is the Rashawn Gary we get, oh my God, home run of a pick.
Yeah, and his snap count is only going to go up now. It seems like Za'Darius' days. If I had to guess right now, I don't think Za'Darius is going to play another snap for the Packers. We'll see.
Yeah, what have we gotten any sort of update on his status?
No, and I can't remember if we've talked about it much on the podcast. Obviously, so he had the back surgery a couple weeks ago. From what I can divulge from what has been said so far, it's divulge,
yeah.
It appears to me that Za'Darius showed up to training camp with an injury that he got while he was training by himself, and the team was pissed off that they didn't tell him sooner that he was injured so that they could start him on some type of rehab.
Or under the knife,
in a contract year for him, which it's turned into because of his cap number and all that. It seems like he elected to want to play through it. Obviously, that did not work very well.
Yeah.
And I think part of that, too, is he wanted to play through it while also not practicing, which is something that the coaching staff did not enjoy. That's the thing. Anytime, you know, we were going through injuries at the beginning of the year and during training camp, injuries come up, Matt would either just shoot it down right away or actually talk about them. And there was a weird vibe from Matt when they brought up Z. So,
where it was like, he was like almost impatient.
Impatient and a little stand, you know, not skittish, clear answers, yeah. And kind of weird.
So you said, where did you hear that he showed up to camp? Because I've heard similar things.
Jason Wilde has said that, but it's
like
kind
that's
of
his theory.
It's reading between the lines because all of training camp, you know, he showed up and wasn't practice for 1 day, and we didn't get any type of clarification. Obviously, the captain thing. Players even, like, they asked Kenny about it, and Kenny seemed a little weird about it, too, so
yeah, God,
who knows?
I mean, God, now that I think about it, it is so weird. It's like you almost forget Za'Darius is on the team at this point.
I know.
And, like, to go from a literal, like, on his way to be a very, very lesser degree, let me just state that clearly, but on his way to be, like, a Reggie White type, you know, player, very, very lesser degree,
but in
terms of just like, you know, free agent signing.
Yep, we talked about
instant fan favorite.
Him, just Chuck, and Z.
So many, you know, sacks and just playing so well to just now it's like, oh, shit, that's right. Za'Darius is still on the team.
And here's another weird thing.
What a wild, you know, turn, even just from 365 days ago.
And that reminds me, because we talked about Preston being out. Gary, after the game one, he talked about Merciless. Who he picked up, had a solid game. I don't think he showed up in the stat sheet, but you saw him getting these pressures, and Gary talked about how he was able to bounce things off him. Like, Marcellus was like, hey, I'm doing this, you can do this, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
He also said that on the sideline, it's like Preston was playing because he was giving him advice, and, you know, he could always talk to him on the sideline and stuff. We heard about it last week, too. God, I forgot who was out. Who was hurt last week? Yosh Nyman talked about being able to talk about David Bakhtiari. We have not heard jack fucking shit about Za'Darius Smith since he's gone IR. It's one of those things, and it gets me fucking... God, I'm already getting pissed again.
Oh, God, his face is red.
You get so pissed off about not being elected captain, and you see these guys who aren't even playing, who aren't captains, and they're stepping up to a leadership role. Rodgers and the coaches talk about this as well.
Man.
And Za'Darius, I don't think he's on this. Have you seen him on the sidelines?
No, because I was just going to ask you that. And Spence, I think we are connecting a lot of dots here. This is actually very worrisome because, well, then at the same time, it was a back surgery. So I don't know if that maybe makes you bedridden. I don't know.
Exactly. That's part of it, too, where I don't know. And a lot of guys, when they get surgery, they do elect to rehab but by themselves. But what are you doing, man?
Like the Always Sunny Charlie where he's yeah. like we're connecting dots here, and it's like it does make a lot of sense where go back to training camp, he shows yep. up hurt, the team obviously seems a little pissed off, and all of a sudden he doesn't get elected captain, does these little subtweets.
I've been connecting these dots.
And then now yeah, now that you mention, you know, guys talking with hurt guys on the sideline like Bakhtiari and Preston, don't hear a peep about that from Zadarius. So maybe like honestly both sides are just checked out of each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a one-way thing where it's like the Packers are done with Zadarius. I think it's the Packers are done with Zadarius, and Zadarius is done with the Packers.
Yeah.
Jesus, this is enlightening.
It very well could shitty. Be the case. It'll be... Now, we could be completely wrong, and he shows up in January, December, whatever, and he's back with the team.
True.
And that would be awesome.
Then just delete this.
And once again, you know, like I said, with the surgery, and you implied it too, I don't know exactly what the protocols are with that, but we've seen, I mean, Alan Lazard last year had surgery and we saw him all the time, so whatever. Moving on, I guess we can just talk about the secondary in general. We've already gone pretty long here. Adrian Amos had a very solid game, couple blowups. Savage absolutely killed
McKissick. Almost killed a guy, yeah. Heineke almost got him killed.
Yes. Yeah. Stokes, we talked about the bad play that he had, giving up the touchdown, not playing the ball in the air, but the fourth down. I mean, God, yes. he ran the route for Terry McLaurin, yes. which is awesome to see for a rookie.
Yes. And especially, like, I'm pretty sure it was the drive after the touchdown. Yes. So it's like, boom, yep. short-term memory. Love that.
It's funny how, you know, you talk about that, or you see people talk about that on Twitter, one with quarterbacks and one with DBs for the most part. Like, oh, quarterback throws a pick, you got to come back and just yep. play like it has time. And with Stokes, it has been that you get beat, comes back, and performs right away. So,
God, even more so for a DB uh-huh. I think, than a quarterback, because I mean, like, those shits can add up quick. You can't really throw four straight interceptions and stay in the game.
Yeah. Well, can you think of any defensive backs who, when they get picked on, they just keep getting picked on and don't really bounce back? We're not. He didn't play last week. I guess we don't need to bring him up. Someone who did play last week, Rasul Douglas. First week he played for us, he was one of the lowest graded players. Thought he played pretty well. He was the highest graded player on defense this week, I believe.
Yeah, I thought he played really solid. So, yeah. I mean, again, I'm glad we waited this long to mention it, but absolutely horrific pass interference call yes. that extended yes. the drive. I mean, just so bad. And like I said to you, like you could almost make a fake argument, like seeing it live, like, oh yeah, maybe he was early. And in like live, it looks a little worse. But then in replay, it's so right. bad. Like, it's like, how?
It was a rare one where it's opposite, where you watched it in slow-mo. It's like, wait a minute. Like there wasn't anything.
That's even worse. Yeah. And it was, again, one of those just absolute shit shows of they throw the flag and they still took 120 seconds to awful. Decide if it was a flag. Once so
again,
bad.
I'll say it again. I'll always say it. Flags should not happen unless it's absolutely egregious. I wish we could just go out there with the refs and they literally don't throw a flag just so players like play within the rules, I yes. guess, and they think the refs are there, they'll yeah, throw flags, yeah. but it's like
they just take the flag away from them.
And, yes, unless there's a fight or, you know, it's terrible shit, just let them fucking yes. play. No one wants to see any laundry on the field. Special teams. Well, God, there's so much to talk
oh,
about
that
still.
Oh, that punt. Oh,
yeah, let's start with the good then. The punt, Corey Bohorquez. Oh. Once again, EQ, thank you for being a good special teams player, being right there. But I don't know. I feel like that ball had to have hit a couple blades of grass that were white.
And again, it's like even when they get it right, it's a shit show. Right. Because they rule it a touchback yeah. initially, and then they rule it not a touchback without even looking
like
at it.
Like the Savage fumble recovery. Like if I was, snip, if snap,
I,
snap.
Yeah, if I was a Washington fan, I'd be pissed off at that. Because it's like, okay, first you rule it a touchback. And then you just magically don't without any sort of review or challenge.
I don't get it. It's absurd.
So, it's so laughable.
But yeah, Corey Bohorquez, probably the best punter in the league. He's yes. at least one of the best punters. Once again, it's just amazing how great he's been. It's like I've said before. Well, fuck. I did say it a couple of weeks ago. The special teams are explosive. You can no longer yeah, take a piss.
One way or the other.
Once again, I mean, even when we were bad under Zook and everything, like it was bad plays all the time. At least this game, very good kick coverage. But we blocked a kick. We pinned them at the three. We got a kick blocked. There's just always stupid shit going on special teams, It's either good or bad.
Special
for us.
Teams is explosive, for better and for worse. I love it.
Yeah. I don't have anything else for the game. Kyle, do you have anything else?
No. Yeah. Like, kind of similar to the Bears game where it's just.
Yeah. But exciting. It was. It had the fun little shit.
Yeah.
In it.
There was. And yeah, I'll always remember that game just for the uniforms. But yeah, just a good win. Obviously, wish the offense could have scored some more points. But actually, we didn't even mention this. What the hell? Fucking red zone defense.
Oh, yeah. God, that's hilarious. It's like, every week I'm like, God, we're not going to have enough to talk about. Now we're like an hour in and it's like, oh, we didn't even talk about the red zone defense.
Like, holy shit. Like I said, it felt like Washington was in the red zone the entire second half and they still only had 10 points to show for it.
God, I'm trying to think now. God, I should have looked it up. I wonder if the Lambeau leap is what turned the tide. I think we might have had a stop before then. But it would be hilarious if what we needed was an opposing player to do the Lambeau leap
really,
to make the red zone defense show up.
It was really turning into one of those things to where it became too big of a deal.
Like,
where
the,
it
was punt, like 16, the punt return yardage in 2019.
Yeah, like 16 of 16 have been touchdowns. Yeah. And like I thought Greg had a good point. He's like, when you focus too much on trying to solve a problem, it's like you press too hard and it just makes it worse. But I just think this was such a release for the defense to like just get the monkey off their back and be like, oh, okay, we can actually stop them in the red zone.
100%. Yeah, God, I didn't even think of that now. 2019 was the year of the punt return yardage. 2020 was the year of, are we going to score on every single first drive? 2020 was the red zone defense being able to hold up.
And
so
now it's out.
There you go.
We can move on.
With that, we will have Take News.
Ooh. Football time. Take News.
All right, Take News for the week. Everything's been so great. You know, obviously, I don't know if you saw this stat. Packers are the first team ever to lose by 35-plus points the first week and go on to win six games in a row.
I mean, that's very...
Yeah.
It's very narrow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like a Kirk Cousins stat that Viking fans post. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, of course no one's done
when the humidity is 72.
Anyways, everything's been so great to the point where, I mean, it couldn't be much better, but Rodgers is very happy. Everyone's saying, oh my God, Rodgers is even on Pat McAfee
today. It's noticeable.
Very noticeable. So it gets one thinking. Let's start with this. This was peak Rodgers offseason. Here's a clip from Aaron Rodgers when he was on SportsCenter. Please don't sue us. When he was talking to Kenny Mayne.
You know, I think sometimes people forget what really makes an organization. And, you know, history is important. You know, legacy of so many people who've come before you. But the people, that's the most important thing. The people make an organization. People make a business. And sometimes that gets forgotten. You know, culture is built brick by brick, the foundation of it by the people. You know, not by the organization, not by the building, not by the corporation. It's built by the people. And I've been fortunate enough to play with a number of amazing, amazing people and got to work for some amazing people as well. And it's those people that build the foundation of those entities. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know. I love coaching staff, love my teammates, you know, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible. Incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, you know, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. Look, man, it is about the people, and that's the most important thing. Green Bay has always been about the people, from Curly Lambeau being owner and founder to the 60s with Lombardi and Bart Starr and all those incredible names, to the 90s teams with Coach Holmgren and Farvey and the Minister of Defense to the run that we've been on. It's about the people.
Now, here is a clip which caught my eye. Of course, I'm a loser. I listen to a lot of the press conferences. Mm-hmm. Whitney Mercilus, his introductory press conference last week talking about getting signed with the team.
One, like going from a team that maybe isn't going that same direction to now you are on a contender?
Yeah, definitely. That definitely contributes to it. But also the mentality as far as like from top down, from I'm talking about tippity top all the way down, everybody's on the same page. you know, they invest into their players, into people. And when you've got a mentality like that, then you just know you're being appreciated and they're doing everything to invest into you and you want to invest back into that. So it's like to experience something like that is awesome.
All right. So, and as we've said, and even since then, Rodgers this week has said a lot of things about how happy he is. I don't remember exactly. He had his presser today and Pat McAfee, but he was very, very happy. And he said he hasn't been this happy in a while. It's very interesting that they both brought up the people, too. It does make you think that maybe there has been a change upstairs with Goody. I don't know. He's talked a lot about the how he appreciates the veteran acquisitions that we've made as well. So, Kyle, I'm going to pose the question to you. You think Rodgers is going to be back in 2022?
I feel like that's a question I should have an answer to. I simply do not.
Yep. as we usually do on the show, we want to have takes, but sometimes when there isn't one, we're not going to make up a fake one.
We almost saw this coming, you know?
Yes.
Like, we knew this team
ebbs and flows.
Like, despite all the offseason bullshit, we still knew that this roster was loaded and that as long as Rodgers was quarterbacking, which pretty much we've said from the jump is he's either going to quarterback for the Packers this year or he's not going to play football. And so we knew that those were the two options and we knew that this team was loaded. So, you know, we can deduce that this would have happened, this whole 6-1 start. So, and even back then I'm thinking, okay, they're going to start out 6-1. They're going to be really good. Like, don't kid yourself. Don't suck yourself back in. This is probably the last dance. And so now that I'm here, I'm trying to listen to that old me talking to future me, but I don't know. He looks so happy. He looks so... And the other thing, too, I don't even think we mentioned last week against the Bears when they asked if, you know, that was going to be his last game in Soldier Field. And he said, no, I don't think so. And
right.
It's like,
I forgot about that. Yep.
Well,
yep.
Shit.
That's like, what started this thinking for the most part, too. Yes.
So, to answer your question, I don't have an answer. I don't know. It's tormenting. But I'm just going to enjoy this year because it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kyle, I'll. You know, I got to be a little different than you, of course. Okay. We have to have, you know, devil's advocate.
Sure.
Yeah, I have no fucking idea either. Yeah. It's, and it's, you know, like you said there, because if it's up to Rodgers, maybe he would be back. But the thing that he's repeated since the drafting of Jordan Love is, it's not up to me. It's out of my hands. That's exactly what he said. And now I'm going back and forth and it's like, you know, because like you said, we're 7 weeks in, we're 6-1, he looks great. If after the entire season last year, Goody and Russ Ball didn't want to sign him long-term then, it's kind of hard to think that their thinking has changed now. But
yeah,
who knows? It's also one of those things where, like I've said before, I think Goody wants to hold on to Jordan Love or not have to make a decision until he absolutely has to, which would be this offseason.
Probably, yeah.
But now, once again, with how everything's been so great, and why would you move on from this fucking guy?
Then again,
with the way he said, and I said it was, you know, he lies to us. I think I brought up last week or the week before. He said Jordan Love was fantastic during training camp. Well, maybe that's just Goody trying to raise his trade value a little bit. But who knows? Long offseason.
My question, and it's probably like a boring answer like cap or some bullshit, but like why is this offseason the last or like the inflection point for Jordan Love and the Packers? Like, why can't we just maybe kick the can down the road one more season?
And that's
like I said, I'm sure the answer is like cap or some bullshit. Like, you can't have Rodgers and this roster and blah blah blah. But
kind of sorta, it's one of those where we took Jordan Love in the first round. First round players get the fifth year option.
Yeah, but
so you would want to see him start.
We did 3 years with Rodgers, though. That's why I asked, because it's like Rodgers sat for 3 years.
But it's just the way the NFL has changed. Quarterbacks don't sit like they used to once again. And I've said it from the beginning. Literally, I think the first episode we recorded after is if, you know, social media and shit didn't matter and they could just run a football team, this would not matter. But it's because of the chatter of Jordan Love and all this shit where it starts to matter.
Yeah, but
If you just treat him, you know, if he's the thing I try to tell myself is, imagine if he was just fucking Dayton Jones. He's a bust. Mm. You know, he's whatever. Fucking, I don't care. Just trade him. We don't have to think about him. If, you know, treat him as any other player. He sits on the roster. He's the backup. You don't have to make any changes. But again, it's if you take him in the first, you want to see what he is before you have to enact the year option and all that. And with Rodgers' deal, blah, blah, blah. It could happen. Obviously, it's something I would do, but.
And you say, and, you know, it's kind of a cop-out answer of like, oh, that's just the way the league has evolved and the way his league has changed. Yeah, but. Not many franchises have had 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play. Like, obviously, they're pretty good at this and kind of knowing how to navigate the situation. So I guess my answer would be to hopefully just kick the can down the road one more season.
And that's the other thing, because you've talked about cap there too, and we aren't cap experts. I have a little bit. Of an idea.
I'm not going to pretend that
I'm not Ken Ingles on Twitter.
Yeah.
But the big thing is, it's just funny. I'm imagining like Russ Ball rolling up his sleeves in like February when the season's over.
Pushing the glasses up.
Because, yeah, you could. We're probably going to cut Zadarius, probably going to cut ties with Dean Lowry. A lot of guys whose money we moved on to years beyond, you know, these void years where they're not even going to be on the roster. Well, for this year with COVID and everything, they put a cap on how much the. Salary cap could go up.
Dumb.
Now, the big thing, and I haven't heard anything since, you know, last offseason, but with the new TV deal and everything else, that cap could absolutely explode. So if you, like you said, kick the can down another year and Russ Ball and Goody are just sitting there like crossing their fingers waiting to get that memo from the NFL of what the salary cap's going to be, maybe we are fucking Gucci after that.
Mm.
I'm a white person.
Yeah, I just think this is kind of a whole other subject, but yeah, I just think it's bullshit about this whole like cap room. Like Amazon is going to hot piss money at the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason to not have the cap explode.
Yeah, because I feel like Drew Brees retired last year, but I feel like they were in cap hell for like five fucking years, and they're fine. I mean, they got Jameis Winston starting. They're not very great since we played them, it seems like, but. Once again, I'd be fine with even if we are in some type of cap hell. Who gives a shit as long as we can keep Devontae in here?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't. It's just a mess, and I hate that we're talking about it in week
I know.
7 or 8. But it is. It's extremely relevant because, I mean, the vibes are sky high. Like, everyone's feeling good to where, I mean, the question needs to be asked. So
there has to be something
and
bad
the answer
going on.
Is, cap. Don't fucking know.
Well, with that, Kyle, why don't we have, some trivia questions. Is
Ooh,
Kyle an idiot?
Yes. I'm not an idiot.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
Is Kyle an idiot? Ooh, that was kind of funny. Is Kyle an idiot for the week?
Dramatic. We usually don't see that side of you, Spence. I can't speak.
Yeah, it's been S's. Going around us the last couple of weeks. Hank had a bad case of it last week.
Yeah, they're Jermerkel. I said that was Jermerkel.
Well, you were right listening.
And I was
back.
Right about that. Yeah, you're like, what did I say?
I wonder if anyone listening knows what we're even talking about. All right, is Kyle an idiot? Like
true
I said,
fans know.
Yes, three trivia questions for you, Kyle. Are you prepared? What are you? Are you 9-9? Yeah, you're 9-9-1 for
Ooh,
the year,
right.
I believe. Yeah, we'll roll with
Call
that.
Call a doctor. Or wait, no, that's 9-1-1.
Jesus, that was okay. I like that joke. First question, Kyle. What was the last year the Packers wore throwback uniforms?
I was at the game. Against the Denver Broncos in 2019.
Yep, very good.
Nice.
It is just 2019. It was weird. Maybe it's just because it was the Broncos and that game did kind of suck.
Hilarious, hilarious side story. So, like I said, it was at that game. And it was, we didn't anticipate the forecast to be a rainy muck show, but it was. So we went to, me and my buddies who I went to the game with, we went to, went to like Walmart or something to get some sort of like poncho or some sort of rain jacket. And they had these jackets that literally matched exactly the jersey color.
I remember those
because it's like,
now,
you know, it's like the blue and yellow and the white or whatever, like the color scheme. And then they wore the like the khaki pants, and I wore khaki pants to the game. I literally like it was I matched their uniforms. It was so cool.
The perfect waterproof fan.
Yeah, and it was like a waterproof like pullover jacket. It was awesome. So fun, nice. Fun yeah, side
I,
story.
I totally. If I had to guess, I would have probably guessed like 2017, 2018. I thought it had been a lot longer.
No, yeah, I would have got it horrifically wrong if I didn't go to that game. Because yeah, I would have. Because now I'm thinking. Because obviously they didn't do one last year.
Right, I think.
And now, let's try to maybe brainstorm the year before that.
I think it was just 2018 before. I think they had done it every year, and then they just stopped in 2020 for some reason.
Probably just the pandemic shit. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Some whatever excuse they're going to use. Yeah. Yeah.
Garbage.
All right. Very good, Kyle. 1-0.
Right. Oh, and I forgot to. When I was listening back, super low energy from me last week.
Yeah, usually your energy's up with Hank.
Usually
Hank
you were
too.
Like, you were like, and to end it, you were like, all right, that was a race. I was like, shit. Yeah. So, you know, I'll hold me accountable, but you have to hold me
You've
accountable.
You've been fantastic this week, Thank Kyle. You. You're filling in for Hank Swimley.
Yeah,
you are
I'm
two
doing
guys.
Double duty, yeah.
All right, second question. I didn't think you were going to get that first one. Who are the last two quarterbacks to beat the Packers on the Cardinals? God, I'm so bad at phrasing things.
I was going
to,
okay.
Including playoffs.
Yeah, so it's Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen.
Very good.
Got Mike McCarthy fight. Dude, what is going
There's
on?
There's something in the water.
Oh, my. It's the boobly.
That is probably what it is.
Josh Rosen and it's got to be Carson Palmer.
Yep, very yes. good. Yeah. Right. God, I thought Rosen would be the tough one. Still weird that he's in the league. I feel like he's played for like 10 different teams at this point.
Yeah, because you've seen it a lot this week already where it's like, oh, the last time the Packers played the Cardinals, they got Mike McCarthy fired.
Yes, and it's weird how they've had so many just odd quarterbacks. Like Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer just like, oh, I guess they are going to play at the end of their careers and be good.
Yeah, that was actually one of PMP's hottest debates. I remember the whole Mike McCarthy handling. Or was that pre-pod? I think that was pre-pod.
It was one of the things. I remember.
Oh, yeah. And we've talked about it before. Me and Spence, we were at each other's necks about how
it's so
the
fucking,
McCarthy
it, and it's to the point. Well, you know what the real, we've gone long enough. You know what a real heated debate is, though.
What's that?
Drake versus Kanye. We're not getting into that. All right. Very good, Kyle. Third pick six question. Okay, good. I'm glad you got the first two right.
All right.
This one
isn't. Let's go.
Kyle, what former Packer and special teams ace plays on the Cardinals?
Special teams ace, former Packer.
I believe he was on the Packers 5 years
so
ago.
So he was a special teams ace for the Packers?
He was pretty solid
or
for us.
Is a, ooh, that's going to be tough. I don't... Banjo?
Very good, yeah! Kyle. Wow. I was even going to give you a hint that he
Chris
played for the
Banjo.
Saints
or
between
just
there.
Said like an instrument.
Yep. Yep. That's what I was going to do. Ooh, it's an instrument name. It's very country
nice.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Wow. He is kind of like their special team stud.
Yeah. He's one of the guys, and it's so dumb. But obviously we have a podcast. I'm a loser fan. But it was one of those where when we moved on from him, I'm like, God, I thought he showed enough potential, and it's not like we've had great safety depth.
To just, be a fringe roster guy, yeah.
Because that's when our special teams that year, they were actually pretty good, because that's when it was peak Jeff Janis and Chris Banjo, which were two really great special teams players.
Nice,
so.
Nice.
Wow.
3-0. Wow. That's my first perfect week.
This year, I think it is. Very good, Kyle.
Let's
well,
go.
Do you have a stump spinning?
Well, yeah, kind of. But I was going to say, like, because Rodgers has started 6 games against the Cardinals. And I was going to say, name 3 of the quarterbacks he started against.
He's played against 6 different quarterbacks?
That's what I'm seeing, yeah. Well, here we go. Actually, no, that question's impossible. But, yeah, just go ahead. I mean, you already have. Okay.
Well, because it's obviously, Kurt Warner.
Yep.
Obviously, the two guys that we already mentioned, Josh Rosen and Carson Palmer. Did we go against Skelton?
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah, that was the one I was going to try and trip you up on. So.
Okay, am I missing? You said there's 6 different ones or 6 different starts?
No, I think it was, I think it might have been only
those 4.
My phone is so fucking slow right
Don't
now.
Don't update your iPhones, people. I'm telling you, you got to wait until you get a new phone, update
this,
it once.
I just got this phone like
a
month
ago. Oh, you
did.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was like John Skelton. And what I forgot about was,
what?
Brian St. Pierre? Who the hell is that?
That is the most training camp sounding name I've ever heard.
Because
it reminds me of Engel Martin.
What's funny, you remember the absolute disaster well, not disaster, but absolute shootout. Obviously, the 51-45. Yep. I think that was Rodgers' first postseason start. They actually played Arizona that week ago, or the week prior.
We'll get to that later.
And I think, yeah, I think they had to win and in, and obviously they won. And obviously the Cardinals must have been already clinched because Brian St. Pierre was playing.
We'll talk about that later, but it's a little bit different than that. But yeah, whatever. We'll talk about it later. Here we go, because we are now into the preview.
Hey.
Ooh, segue. Kyle, we are playing the Arizona Cardinals on Thursday night football.
Such a shame. It's just such a shame. Like, this is a game everyone had circled on their calendars. And, like, this was a game even prior to the season, like, even before. I thought the Cardinals were going to be good. I didn't think they'd be, 6-0 good. But even prior then, I thought this would be a great test for the Packers G,
right?
Packers D, just because Kyler Murray and his ability on the ground. But yeah, such a shame that we're going in so undermanned. Really sad.
Yeah, it should still be a great game. I mean, people are pegging it as the best game so far this year. Obviously, the most hyped up one. Packers 6-1. Arizona is undefeated, 7-0. God, and it looks like Arizona's covered the spread every single game this year. It's pretty damn good. Their defense is pretty solid. They are first and third down. They have the 14th most sacks in the league, 7th in passing yards, 21st in rushing yards. Maybe we found something there that we'll be able to do. Yeah, overall, pretty great team. Obviously, J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, who is back off the COVID list. Ironic. You want to talk about that right now, we might as well get into it. COVID, Kyle, with yesterday, Davante Adams, it being announced that he has COVID. He's in the COVID protocol. It sounds like he tested positive. I don't think if they've released that yet. Malik Taylor, a week ago, tested positive. He actually got activated today, so we'll have someone. Nice. But Alan Lazard also won't be playing on Thursday night either. With him, he is unvaccinated, so we don't know if he had it or if he literally just came in contact with someone.
I think someone said on the beat that, yeah, it's just a close contact.
Which is, I talked about it, and I don't want to get into this stupid, COVID shit. I'm sure people love talking about it.
You probably don't get enough coverage or opinions right on it. So if you need some.
But I'll just say this. It's pretty... In IMO, if you're in a contract year and you're trying to catch on somewhere, it's kind of dumb not to get vaccinated. And God, I mean, what a nightmare too, where he probably would have entered this game as the number one receiver.
Yeah.
And now he's not able to play at all. So
yeah, like I said, it's a shame we're going in such undermanned just because it's such a great game. But it's also, I will break out the loser talk a little bit. Ooh. It's kind of nice because Packers are kind of playing with house money.
Yeah.
No one really expects them to win this game. Biggest surprise, I thought, though, actually not that surprising. So the spread opened at 3.5.
Yep.
Cardinals -3.5. And now it's only to 6.5.
Right. Yeah.
That's Vegas showing respect for number 12.
I guess, but it's showing a lot of respect for Devontae too, for just being a receiver. Sometimes skill position players, running backs especially, they'll be out and the line doesn't move at all. But for Devontae, 3 full points.
Well,
is
no,
because
I think. Oh yeah, that is what caused the initial move. But yeah, I just think to not even I wouldn't be surprised if the spread was like 7.5. But
yeah, very fair.
It's crazy that it's 6.5 because I think again just the respect for Rodgers.
Yeah, and obviously on the other side of the ball, Kyler Murray, early MVP candidate, probably the front runner right now.
Yep.
Edmonds is the running back. Kind of, he's had a weird career where now he's popped up, and I mean, he's kind of the only guy there since they moved on from David Johnson.
I feel like he has been 23 years old for the last 4 years.
Chase Edmonds just sounds like a young person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's pretty good.
Obviously, the wideouts, I mean, they have so many weapons on the team. It's kind of like what Packer fans would have hoped the Packers would have done over the last decade, where they signed A.J. Green this offseason. They drafted Rondale Moore, who's
that
had
guy,
some big games.
Oof. He is lightning in a bottle. Good Lord.
Yeah,
shifty as hell. I'm gonna be very scared when because they're going to try and get the ball out on screens and shit to him.
Yeah.
Hold on to your butts.
Well, we're a good tackling team now, so hopefully we can box him up. But he's, I mean, he is like Steve Smith Jr. I only say that because he's my dynasty team, whatever. But I do like him. And obviously, I mean, we talked about the weapons there. We haven't even talked about DeAndre Hopkins, who's arguably one of the best receivers in the league.
The 1B to Devontae's 1A.
Absolutely. And they recently traded for Zach Ertz.
Oh, the tight end. That's right.
That's what I mean. It's such a nightmare of Packer, of if you're a really sad Packer fan and you just want to be angry about stuff. It's like, well, look at the Cardinals. Did they sign AJ Green? They drafted a wide receiver and they traded for a tight end. Yeah, going all in. But yeah, most explosive offense in the league. We have an uphill battle. We have a weird history with the Cardinals too, as we talked about earlier. I mean, when we play them in the playoffs, it was kind of a similar deal as this, where we were absolutely decimated on the offensive side of the ball.
It's like us in Cincinnati in weird games. Like when we play Arizona, we just have to be severely undermanned.
Yeah.
Them's the rules.
That was obviously the Jeff Janis game, but do you remember how Randall Cobb got hurt in that game?
Yeah, he was mic'd up.
Yep.
And it like punctured his lung or something, or made like something like internal. He said he was like coughing up blood or something.
Yeah, it was. It's kind of similar to the Charles Woodson play in the Super Bowl where he broke his collarbone, where it was such an amazing injury where he got hurt. But I think it looked like
laying out for a catch.
It looked like he came down with it too. I'll have to look up that play now if it's still on the internet, because it was an amazing play. I thought he caught it. And then, the way he fell on like the mic broke his something up in his body. Yeah, so now he's anti mic'd up. And
which,
never do
I mean, how couldn't you be?
So, Kyle, with all that being said, what do you think of this game? How do you think it's going to go? What do you think the score will be?
Yeah, like I said, loser talk, but kind of house money, which is kind of a good spot to be in, because, like, obviously I'm going to be rooting like hell if they win, or I want them to win, but, you know, if they lose, I'm not going to be devastated. Now, if it's like week one, I will be devastated. You know, we get embarrassed on national TV like that, it'll be devastating. But like, man, just seeing Heinicke be able to kind of scamper like that gives me some nightmares for Kyler to do the same. But Vegas has too much respect for Rodgers, and obviously so do I. So I'm not picking against my guy. I think he can get the job done. I hope LaFleur just pounds the ball. That's going to be the key to the game, being able to run the ball, control the clock, keep the ball out of the Cardinals offense's hands, and maybe keep it a kind of a low scoring, low possession slobber knocker.
Do you have a score prediction for that, Kyle?
I will go 24-21. Good guys.
All right. Wow. That's take the under then, perhaps. It's weird too, just to think like the Vikings almost and probably should.
And I meant to correct you. I think the only game that the Cardinals did not cover was against the Vikes, and God, did they blow that game?
Ugh. Yeah. Well, I
can't remember exactly how it happened. I just know that the Vikings blew it. I mean, you can just count on the Vikings.
The Vikings, Vikings. Yeah. I'll say this too. A couple other nuggets right before. Matt LaFleur did have his presser today. He said that he isn't ruling Bakhtiari out. So he'd have to be activated literally tomorrow or Thursday, I think.
Massive with JJ and Chandler on those ends.
Yeah, I don't see it happening though. And I honestly don't think he'd play very well, even if he did come in this week. He hasn't played football since January, and he hasn't even practiced on a short week too. The team hasn't practiced. True. And now you're gonna have your all pro left tackle.
Fire, yeah.
Pretty tough. On top of that too, he said MVS could play as well, but that's another thing where
We haven't even really talked about that much. This offense is missing him something fierce.
Just to take the top off.
Exactly.
It's weird.
He keeps DBs honest, and he makes them, you know, give us a little extra breathing room where you just have to respect that speed. So we get him back. Yeah, I love our chances even more.
Yeah, we'll see. It's strange too, because when he went on IR, I mean, he does a show with Game On Wisconsin, I think it is. And on that show, after he got hurt that week before, he said, oh, I'll be good to play this week. The next day he was put on IR. So obviously he was a little taken back by that. But now even it's been the three games and he hasn't practiced since then. So I kind of wonder what's going on.
And I'm thankful that the Packers are taking this approach. Yes. Hamstrings, especially with the speed that MVS has, yes, he needs those hammies to be 100%.
Yep. And why are we taking it slow with these injuries, and why are we playing with house money?
Because this is the preseason,
very
baby.
Very good, Kyle. And with my prediction, go along with that, speaking of preseason games that do not matter, we referenced it earlier back in 2009 when the Packers played the Cardinals. Week 17... we played them, and then we went on to play them in the playoffs the next week. Week 17 was a meaningless game. Mm-hmm. It didn't mean shit
for both teams?
For both teams.
Okay.
Could not change seeds no matter what.
Maybe it was a win and in for...
No, it was a very rare circumstance where it didn't matter and you were playing the other team that week. So, for whatever reason, in Mike McCarthy's big brain, and I'm still a Mike McCarthy guy, but man, he was pretty fucking dumb at times, they game planned for this game and went all in to win. Oh, Packers won the game 33-7. They obviously go on the next week to lose to the Cardinals in the playoffs and that shootout.
51-45.
Which is just great. That's when I knew Aaron Rodgers was going to be, I don't remember who the guy was, but a corner for the Cardinals after that, and that was Rodgers' second year starting. He said, I don't care. I played Drew Brees. I never want to go up against Aaron Rodgers again. I'm like, this guy might
goosebumps.
Be pretty good. Yeah, literally. Anyways, so I'm going to try to reverse the jinx. Ooh. We're obviously kind of superstitious. I'm very superstitious with the team.
I'm a little stitious.
So I'm going to flip the score of the Week 17 matchup in 2009. Ooh. I have the Packers losing 33-7.
Oh, fuck you.
Oh, come on. Ooh. Are you going to be shocked if it happens? We have stinkers every single year.
I'm going to be pissed off, and I'm going to misdirect my anger at you.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope I'm wrong. It would be pretty crazy if I am wrong, but it's not really a, you know, football analysis type thing. It's still going to be a weird game with all the injuries and COVID and shit, but I'm doing that. Hopefully it'll change the mojo for the season.
You're going to feel real dumb when 12 does some fucking crazy shit.
Yeah, whatever. We'll see. But Kyle, obviously, as we always do, what is your bold prediction?
You go first.
God, Kyle, what? You know what? Why don't you go first?
No, I insist.
Okay, it sucks. I'm going to say this right away. You are not. Amari Rodgers is off the board this week after I had him scoring a touchdown last week. Obviously, it didn't happen. If you would have tried to piggyback that this week when
he's going to play 100% of the snaps. Yeah, right.
A little bit different. God. Running game. You know, I wonder, let's try this out. Let's see what you're thinking here. Kylan Hill, first career touchdown.
God. I was just going
to
say.
Okay. Oh, so I think you like it then. All right, I'll go with that. Kylan Hill, first career touchdown. Kyle, what is your bold prediction for the game?
I am going to go. All right, so you go offense. I'll go defense then. You know, like I said, it's been a roller coaster of a year for him. And he's coming off a high last week. So, you know, we're usually used to probably a low this week. So I'm going to go against the grain and say Kingsley Keke has 1.5 sacks. I was going to go 2.
Come on.
I was going to go 2, but I'm going to go 1.5. 1.5.
I think you got to push 2.
1.5 sacks.
I think you got to push 2. Nope. 1.5. You've gotten on me for doing the half.
Oh, because he put a hand on him as he's running out of bounds. So if that happens, I won't take it.
Okay.
Compromise. So 1.5. But if one of the half is like he touches him sort of thing, I won't take it.
Okay. And if they're all half sacks, also doesn't matter.
No.
If
he gets 3 half sacks,
that would be ridiculous.
That's 3 pressures up the middle that.
You don't know that.
Come on. No, that's if he gets 3 half sacks, that's almost more impressive.
Now I'm kind of hoping he doesn't get hurt, but I don't know. He misses the plane.
Whoa, dude, Jesus.
I don't know. I hope I hope he has a sack and a forced fumble. How about that? That's what I'll be rooting for Sunday.
Second half.
Okay. Well, shoot, that's all we have. But hey, even though he's not here, we do have According Hank this week. So
According Hank.
According to Hank this week, you know, we'll let that play right
Kevin
now.
He's in the office. Less words.
He sent us a tape recording again. So here's according to Hank this week.
Hey, Kyle, Spence. I'm going to make it short today. My prediction is we win on Thursday. I think we win, what? I'm going to say 27-24. My bold prediction is there's going to be one moment of the game that AJ Dillon has a touchdown, and I get so excited that I spill my food all over my slacks. And all I have for according to Hank is I'm trying to reverse the curse. I feel like I cursed AJ Dillon last week, and so I'm doing my part. Here's what I have to say. I pledge allegiance to the legs of AJ Dillon on Thursday night football and to the video game frame to which they stand, one field under Buck and Aikman, which touchdown and truck sticks for all. That's all I have. Time to reverse the curse. It's AJ Dillon time. That's all I'm going to say.
Perfect. Well, thank you for that, Hank.
Thank you, Hank.
Short and sweet.
Miss
which
you.
Usually isn't
Ooh,
the case.
Oh, watching the game at Hank's place.
Yeah, hopefully.
Uncle's out of town.
Yeah, Uncle's out of town.
Gonna check out the basement. I'm excited.
Hopefully, Uncle doesn't show up and he's still gone. But with that, Kyle, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
I do not.
All right. Well, with that, my morning jacket. Please don't sue us.
Go Pack, go.
Never quite believe in your complex mind.